Our scripture reading this morning is Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. Let's hear what Jesus has to say about murder. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder, or anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. But Father God, you have fed us this morning with the bread of the earth. But now, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would feed us with the bread of heaven, the manna, that you would feed us with the preached word, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. In the last several weeks, we looked closely at what the Ten Commandments says about murder. There's a positive aspect. There is a negative aspect. The positive aspect is that we are pro-life, that we promote life. The negative aspect is that it's not just stabbing somebody with a sword or shooting someone with a gun that is breaking the commandment of thou shalt not murder. But it is, in fact, just the thought. A hateful, angry thought breaks that commandment. Just think about it. When a child, when a baby is learning to walk, the first thing he does is he learns to turn over. And then after he has learned to turn over, he learns to stand. We'll take that as a metaphor about the sin of murder. Before the sin of murder is strengthened enough to walk on its own, it learns to turn over these hateful thoughts in your heart. And then it stands up. It gets strength in the body to actually do something about these thoughts that you have. Until lastly, the person begins to act upon these hateful thoughts and comes to commit the actual deed of murder. Any hateful thoughts are the first steps to murder. Therefore, hatred and bitterness, these are violations of the sixth commandment. If ever you have hated someone, and let's be honest, people, you have, and I have. We have all broken this sixth commandment. If you have had those hateful thoughts, then you are convicted as a sinner before God. And murder is so serious that we are told that it is not simply carrying out sin against another individual, but murder is so serious because the individual is made in the image of God. And when somebody attacks and has hateful thoughts towards another individual, they're having hateful thoughts against someone made in the image of God. And when you have hateful thoughts or you murder someone who is made in the image of God, which we all are, then from God's perspective, it is because you are attacking God and you are hating God. So what do we do? What do we do? We are murderers from our childhood. The law has condemned us. Like a spider that's dangling its web over a fire, we are dangling over the wrath of God because we are murderers. How then can we escape the judgment that God has for us? Jesus says, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave the gift there at the altar. And then go and find your brother and be reconciled to him. Go and be reconciled and then come back and deal with God. Then come back and offer your gift to God. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown in prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penalty. The Lord reminds us here of the urgency, of reconciliation, not just with one another, but more importantly, reconciliation with God. Jesus says, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court, or he may hand you over to the jailer and throw you into prison. Let me do some interpreting here for you. What Jesus is saying through this metaphor, God is your adversary. If you have broken not just the sixth commandment, but any of the Ten Commandments, God is your adversary. God is taking you to court. What Jesus is saying is that murder is so serious. Murder is so serious because you are made in the image of God that therefore God will get revenge over those who simply have a hateful thought towards someone. Your enemy ultimately is God. And you have chosen to fight against someone that you cannot possibly beat. Just think about Moses and think about Isaiah. We've talked about these two in the past. How when they came into the presence of God, the earth quaked, the mountains rumbled, fire came from the mountains, lightning, earthquakes. And both of them, Moses and Isaiah, said that it was so terrible, they were fearful because they were literally melting. Now, do you think that Moses is a good dude? Do you think that Isaiah is all right? Yeah, we have a lot of respect for them, don't we? Seems that they're even living their lives better than what you have lived yours. But both of them are telling you that if you've sinned, you have no hope in yourself. Here's the thing you must realize. God is your enemy, but it's only God who can do something about it. It is God you hate, but it is God that you must deal with. When you hate someone, you don't just hate and then leave that person alone. No, you deal with that person. People that you hate, you don't want to be around, do you? No. You like to run from them, to not have them in your life. But let me tell you, God is your enemy, God brings condemnation to you. But friend, do not run from God. The only thing you can do is run to Him. Only He can help you. Only He has the means to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Do not run from Him. Instead, run to Him. Jesus says, settle matters quickly. Settle matters quickly with God before He brings judgment upon you. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for us. God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were still the enemies of God, Christ died for us. While we were still at war with God, while we still considered Him to be our enemy, God does something for you. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3 that what God did for you is that God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. God did this to demonstrate His justice, so that to be just and the one who justifies, God, through the mediation of Jesus Christ, justly and honorably shows you mercy. Though you have rebelled against Him all your life, though you have been His enemy and He has been your enemy, yet God takes the initiative to work peace with you. And He does that by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. Well, you know, preacher, I've done some good things. I'm glad you've done some good things. You keep on doing those good things, but guess what? There ain't no hope in that. Well, you know, I give money to the church. I'm glad you give money to the church. You keep on doing that, but there ain't no hope in it. Well, I go to church. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm an elder. I'm a preacher. I'm a deacon. That's good. You serve well in those things, but guess what? There's no hope for you in any of that. Well, preacher, what do I have any hope in? The only hope you have is Jesus Christ. Do not run from your enemy. You run to Him, and He will make peace with you. The apostle to the Hebrews says, by one sacrifice He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The apostle Peter says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Paul says, when we were still God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. There is such a beauty, such a dignity, such a purity in the blood of Christ that God the Father will accept that and receive that for you in order to forgive you of sins. Let me conclude this by reminding you some things about the grace of God. You have a wicked heart. You have murdered people in your heart. You have, I have, we all have. And it would be most proper, most just for God then to cast us into prison, so to speak. But think, please, think of this. Though you have rebelled against Him, instead He has shown you mercy. Though you deserve hell, yet He has prepared a wonderful place for you. Though at one time you had no love to God, yet He has continued to exercise His love and mercy and grace to you, even at your worst times. While we were still sinners, not when we got our life together, but while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You have condemned God. You have murdered Christ. And you have murdered those who are made in His image. Yet He did not bring you to death, but instead He restored your life. You chose to be in Satan's service. God chose to deliver you from Satan's service and to bring you to be a part of His family. You were ungrateful for His past mercies and blessings, yet God has continued to pour out His mercies and blessings to you, even though you were rebelling against Him. You refused to come and listen to God's word, but you know what? He has never refused to listen to your word when you pray. You have abused the abundance of God's mercy to continue to encourage yourself to continue in sin. Yet God has multiplied His mercies to you to conform you to the image of Christ. You have rejected Christ and you have murdered Him. He has not turned His back on you. He has not brought death to you. Instead, He has brought life. The Apostle John says, "This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His one and only Son as an atoning sacrifice, as the one who would turn aside God's wrath, taking away our sins." You have sought your ruin and death. God wouldn't let that happen to you. Instead, He brought life to you. He gave you His Son, that you should not perish but have eternal life. You have destroyed yourself, but God has made you with new life. What cause is there to praise and glorify God through Jesus Christ? My friend, there is every cause. Every cause to remember Him, because He has suffered for you in order to bring blessing to you. Do not run from your enemy, God. Instead, you run to Him. You run to Him, claiming the blood of Jesus Christ, claiming the righteousness of Christ. Humble yourselves before God. Ask for forgiveness. And love Him for the great things that He has done for you. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for Christ. We thank You for Your mercies to us. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Oh, heavenly Father, turn our hearts that we would not run from You, but that we would run to You. We would run to the blood of Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Let us close our worship as we stand and sing a hymn of response. Hymn number 501, "Just As I Am Without One Plea." Hymn 501.